Hello and welcome to episode 2 of series 2 of the Poolside Pass podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to be speaking with Gordon McKelland from Working with Parents and Sport. And we're going to be speaking about how coaches can communicate a little bit more effectively with parents and bring parents into the coaching process and use them a bit more as facilitators for their coaching. It's something that, you know, I'm very much a fan of. It's something I've been looking to do with my coach in the last couple of years, and interesting to hear from Gordon on what his thoughts are in terms of, you know, communicating effectively with parents. Before we get into the interview with Gordon, just a quick line from our sponsors, Streamlined. Become a qualified swimming teacher with Streamlined in as little as 6 days. Learn at your own pace and be guided by our expert tutors. You can do your training face-to-face, online in real time, or a combination of the two. Assessment can be in your club using videos or attending one of our assessment venues. We offer tailored, high-quality support. Quote, the Poolside Pass for an extra 10% discount. Okay, so I think it's about time I introduce Gordon. Gordon, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Delighted to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Why don't we just start by getting a little bit about your background within the sport, and then obviously your business, working with parents in sport.
Yeah, so my background's in coaching and education. So I've coached for nearly 20 years now. Was the youngest level 3 rugby coach in the country at 23. Was coaching men's rugby at 24. And I've coached right through all the levels. So some elite under 18s, couple of national sort of championship winning sides at under 13. Now working with 8 to 13 year olds. So from a coaching perspective, I've covered a large range of different programs, and then I've also been in charge of sport in different environments in the UK and New Zealand over the last 16 years. So in that time, I've obviously worked with many parents and many different coaches.
So I don't know if it's the same in other sports. Parents in swimming sometimes get a bit of a hard deal in terms of the negative perception of parents from coaches.
Yeah, I think you know that there's obviously some, you know, pockets going around where parent coach relationship is extremely good, and there's lots of good practices, you know, but unfortunately the media, social media as well, tends to portray those really, really challenging parents and those times where things have really kicked off and gone horribly wrong. But I think traditionally over the years, in a lot of sports, there's been that sort of not ill feeling between the two, but both parties not quite knowing where to go with it. And I think that's led to some issues and some friction. And I think parents, if you speak to coaches, you know, parents are the ones to blame. If you speak to parents, they want greater communication from coaches. So it's an interesting relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I remember speaking to an experienced coach in the sport of swimming who told me he used to get off the poolside as quickly as he could and avoid any eye contact at all with parents to reduce the chance of any interaction with them.
Yeah. And I think, do you know what? And I think there would be a lot of coaches who, if they were being really honest over the years of coaching, will have done something to try to avoid interactions with parents. I mean, I joke with coaches, you know, I've pretended to be on a phone before when I didn't particularly want to speak to particular parents, or was worried that I'd then have to spend the next hour talking about little Johnny. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of coaches will say that they have maybe behaved in this way at some point. I think the reality of it is, however, with society as it is now and some of the things we've seen in the press recently, that actually we need to be doing a lot more together, and there needs to be a much greater transparency. And I think even though that still exists, I think there's a lot of coaches out there who do still have a similar attitude to who you've just described. I think there's an awful lot who are beginning to recognise the importance of the parental role.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've made a lot of progress in the last few years in terms of coaches now starting to see parents more as facilitators and kind of key to unlocking their child's potential. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think coaches who've done some work in this space have recognised that, you know, parents have the most influence on their children. And so if we're wanting to achieve the best possible results with young people, we need to sort of work with them. And it's really important for the child as well that they're getting lots of consistent messaging. So the messaging from coaches is being reinforced at home, and the same sort of messaging is coming from parents, because that allows children to have real clarity on what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve. And probably most importantly, you know, if we give parents a voice and have some dialogue with them, we can learn so much about the athletes in front of us in terms of how they are away from the sport. You know, maybe if we've got that open dialogue, some of the issues they may be having at home, some of the issues they may be having in a school environment. And I think that allows us as coaches to plan better, to make sure that we're coaching the individual in front of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, it's that kind of working in harmony with the parents, so you know, everyone benefits that way. I think some of the reason there can be like a negative atmosphere between the two, as you alluded to earlier, was that kind of miscommunication. Sometimes that maybe coaches maybe see parents as trying to over communicate or coaches trying to under communicate and vice versa. What can coaches do to kind of strike the balance well?
Yeah, I think you've got to, you know, to come up with a really sort of effective, you know, communication policy. I think you really need to sit and think and reflect on your whole program and the environment that you're working in and the context that you are perhaps working in. And I think that then allows you to gauge what necessarily may be over communication or under communication. I think the problem in a lot of sports traditionally over the years is there's been hardly any communication. And I think what that leads to then is parents trying to join up their own dots and trying to make up what they think they're seeing or what they perceive should be happening based on maybe how society perceives sport as well. And then, of course, it only takes one parent then to have a chat with the parent next to them and then another chat to another parent. And before you know it, we've sort of had a game of, you know, game of charades, and the whole thing that we thought should have been communicated hasn't been communicated at all. And it's probably been changed, you know, 10 times over. So, I don't think you can ever under-communicate. I think with sport and society as it is at the moment, I think there's going to have to be a greater transparency. But I think coaches need to sit and have a really well-thought-out communication policy. I don't know if you want me to just sort of go into that into a little bit more detail, maybe give a few pointers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the more information you provide at the right time, I think the more reassured parents are. Parents like to feel safe when they're handing their children over to coaches and into sporting programs. And I think if we do communicate well with them, I think they enjoy the safety net of that. I think coaches need to think about opening up communication on their terms. So I think you do have to make yourself available for conversations, but I also think you need to think about when that availability is, because we don't really want that conflict between communication going on at the wrong time. Yeah. And that's in both coaches and parents' best interest. You know, we don't want parents sending the late night email or text message that they later regret, and likewise coaches do a brilliant enough job without being bothered at times that maybe aren't right for them. So I think we've got to think about how that looks in terms of the training week. I think we've then got to look at what we communicate and how we communicate. So, I mean, I think there has to be some face-to-face contact, connection, because I think we need to recognize who the person is, not just, you know, Billy's mum or Billy's dad. And I think that certainly when we're having crucial conversations about children, maybe stuff where we feel there's an issue or we've got something around selection or something that we know is going to have a major impact on parents and children, I think we need to have that face-to-face contact, just in so much that we can convey real feeling. We all know how, you know, email and text messages can be so misconstrued and misinterpreted when read in different ways. So that face-to-face is important. But then, of course, email, text, groups are absolutely fine when we're looking at things like logistics and timings and kit. One of the big things that's cropped up lately is I think both parents and coaches struggle with some of the WhatsApp groups and the number of buzzing notifications and everything else. And I think coaches, I think, need to make sure that if they have got a group of parents who socially get on well together, that they have a separate social WhatsApp group away from the actual sort of sporting logistic one itself, or any sharing of content that's relevant to the sporting process. So, you know, there's lots to think about there, and I think that just helps, you know, guide coaches into what they need to be thinking about when it comes to setting up a communication policy that works for them.
Yeah, I think just going back to that point about the WhatsApp groups, just from my experience, you know, I coach at two clubs, and I think I'm in about 8 or 9 different WhatsApp groups in terms of squad WhatsApp groups, or like coaches, just coaches WhatsApp groups, or WhatsApp groups of committees. And so when they're all buzzing, it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we miss messages as well, don't we? And we don't think people necessarily reply. You know, there's just too much going on. So I think, you know, not in a negative way, telling people what you expect from them, but I just think there needs to be some conversation that's gone on about what the groups are set up for and what's the priority with them.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, having that communication with parents, something I've done in the past is hold, you know, at the start of the season or during the season, hold parents meetings. You know, how often, or if at all, would you suggest doing this, and how long should they be, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think that hopefully we're getting quite good at recognising the value in that one at the beginning of the season. I think that's really, really important. But I think then what we need more throughout the season then is more a soft touch approach. We don't have to maybe be quite as formal, get them into the room for another long period of time, maybe look at doing something virtually. Now we've seen how the world's opened up that avenue without having to get people, you know, back into a venue necessarily. And I think perhaps something mid-season, perhaps an opportunity for parents to give some feedback at the end as well. I think we can all learn as coaches, you know, even though we may not like all the feedback and feel that it's sort of misconstrued or we're not happy with it, that actually it probably helps our planning in this piece for the following year. But, you know, we can have regular contact. It doesn't always have to be formal. We can share content with them via media or via internet or via platforms, things that we think could help support them and maybe align with our values and behaviours as coaches. And I think lengthwise, you know, I don't think we should be looking at anything more than an hour. I think it's more the nature of those parents' meetings at the beginning of the year that we're not just stood at the front as a teacher telling them how it's going to be, that we find opportunities to give them a voice, perhaps make them, you know, a little bit more interactive. And one thing that I would always suggest is, you know, parents are often under pressure with scheduling and the time commitment involved in sports, and particularly in swimming, you know, yeah, where it's huge, is that I think those meetings need to be going on when the parents are already at the venue, either watching training or before something that they're involved in. And I think you get a far greater uptake when you bear that in mind, rather than finding another slot in the week when they have to make another extra journey.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, especially with the younger age groups, you know, parents will be taking their child to and from training. So if you can, you know, just say, okay, there's going to be a parents meeting after the start of the session. We're going to have someone covering the session to make sure the kids are occupied, and then there's going to be a coach who's going to take you through something in a meeting room. You're going to get a much bigger uptake on that because they're basically already there. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it's amazing how many don't do that and then wonder why, you know, it hasn't been overly well attended. Now, I don't think it's necessarily always anything personal. It's just the sheer fact that parents have a huge amount on their plate, you know, away from the sport, and we don't, we unless we know these parents, we would never know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very easy for us as coaches to just be in our own little bubble in terms of this is kind of our own sport, the demands of our own sport, and kind of miss what's going on in people's family lives. You know, they might not only have one child that does swimming, they might have another kid that does rugby or football, and they've got to be, you know, in two places at once and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's important for coaches as well to have an idea of like you say, what's going on.
Yeah, and I think when going back to the communication piece as well, is that if we can be really proactive with our communication and give parents as much notice as we possibly can and don't sit on information, I think it's, you know, massively appreciated from parents where, you know, they have the time to change their plans where required. I think some of these last minute changes cause a huge amount of stress, and they'll always try and facilitate it because they want things to be okay for their child. And I think we've just got to be a little bit more aware of that as coaches.
Yeah, that reminds me of an instance we had where, you know, we always during the summer, ordinarily we close our program down. We haven't done this year because we only just managed to get back in, and then during that break we communicate out any kind of changes that are happening as of September, so people have got like a good 4-week period to kind of get their head around it and start earning logistics. And last season we did that. We added a few sessions in at the start of the season so people were ready for that, and in mid-season we decided we were going to add another session, and we did it with only like a couple of weeks notice, and people didn't take too kindly to that one because we didn't give them much time to get their stuff sorted out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it is, and it's just being aware of these things to try and make, you know, lives as, you know, as easy as possible for people. And actually what you find is if coaches are really good at being proactive with the communication and parents feel that they're really on the ball and they're really trying to help them out and try and make life easy for them, those moments when you do have to make those last minute changes, which we all have to in sporting programs at some point, parents are like, oh yeah, well, do you know what? Fair play, because actually, look how good he is all the other time. And then it's that relationship's built and parents are then more understanding the other way. So, you know, it works both ways.
Yeah. So just kind of moving on a little bit from that. There's always going to be, you know, one or two parents within a group who perhaps don't always buy into to what you're doing, or they're not always reading from the same hymn sheet. What's the best kind of way for coaches to overcome this situation? Is it simply a case of, you know, just kind of paying their ideas lip service, even if you disagree with them?
Well, I think in any of these sporting programs now, you know, the package that we sell, whether it's performance, participation, whatever that may be, I think we need to be, you know, a lot more transparent about what the program looks like and what the process looks like. And I think we need to be really upfront with parents at the beginning about how this may look to them as the user, as the people who are signing their children up for it. Because some cultures of some clubs may be suited to some parents or how they perceive the world. Some clubs may not be. And I think it's right then that if parents don't feel that it's right for them, that they then, look elsewhere. In an ideal world, we'd have every sporting environment absolutely amazing, where everybody's doing the same thing like this. There's no issues. Everybody understands the package that's in front of them. And then you wouldn't get this sort of, I guess, that one club's doing this, one club's doing another, so I disagree with what you're doing. And all that sort of, headspace that's taken up with some of these things. And you don't always have to agree on absolutely everything either. I think that you've got to respect each other's views and try and work together the best you can in the best interests of the child. And I think as coaches, we need to make sure that even if we're uneasy with our relationship with our parents, that we're always doing best for the individual in front of us.
I think almost related to that point. I'm not sure if you get it in all sports, but we certainly get it in swimming sometimes, where there's a session going on and there's a parent sat in the balcony and they're trying to communicate with their kid. They're trying to give them instructions and things to do, and almost trying to coach their child from the balcony and all that kind of stuff. What would you suggest in terms of approaching that situation and trying to turn it around?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's two sides to this, isn't it? And obviously our work that we do around the world with parents, talks to them about the best way of supporting your child on the sporting journey and being able to hand over some ownership to the coach, and you're there to support in your role, as a parent. I mean, one thing that, we were talking about this in different environments and the importance of establishing culture and what it actually looks like and how humans conform to the environment that's around them. If we look at, football academies, for example, I spend a lot of time around football academies with my own child in one. And, we were always told from the very beginning that part of the culture of the club was that you would not yell any instructions onto the field, and your support on the side of a field was one of applause. Try to be positive. The coaches will do their role, and that's what happens here. And even people who came from grassroots soon recognised that on every pitch within that academy, that was how people were being asked to behave or expected to behave. And of course, everybody did it because they didn't want to stand out like a sore thumb. So I think we've got to do more on informing parents about why that maybe isn't the right kind of support, because we also know that telling parents what to do doesn't always go down very well either. And quite honestly, parental engagement, a lot of it over the years has been based on telling parents what to do and what not to do. So I think it's all right to have these ideas and cultures, but we need to work harder with parents to get them to understand why it's important that their swimmer isn't looking over to them on the balcony for guidance, because ultimately it's their journey. Ultimately, they're the ones that have got to react as things are unfolding. And, they're the ones that are going to have to motivate themselves in time when parents lose that influence. And we need to get parents to understand what they can be focusing their energy on to best support their child.
I think it's really important to recognise as well is that 99 times out of 100 or 999 times out of 1,000, parents aren't doing this stuff out of malice. They're doing it because they think it's going to help their child. So yeah. Coaches, what we need to be doing is helping them understand exactly what impact what they're doing is having on a child and how they can change that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the tricky piece in so much that we've seen by the traction that we've had around the world is the how we deliver those messages is really, really important. And, you can be creative and make things exciting and fun for parents whilst we're also informing them and encouraging them to be engaged in a positive way.
Could you give us an example of how you might do that? Just for coaches out there?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just little things like, you know, in parents' meetings, for example, you know, we all know that the sporting journey is full of ups and downs for parents, and they struggle when the children are in those down bits, you know. So we in our workshops, we play your cards right, higher or lower. Do you remember the old game off the TV show? And we've got the big playing cards, and we get a couple of contestants up, we play, we talk about how we would all love the journey to be onwards and upwards and heading off on this lovely trajectory, but actually the reality is this, and that, you know, the parents enjoy the game, they start to understand that there are going to be ups and downs, and then link it into how we manage those down bits and how we manage those ups. So we're linking a bit of fun with I guess a bit of education, but it's just slightly more dressed up.
Yeah. So you know, I know you've said you do work around the world with sporting organizations and clubs. Do you want to just give us a little bit of information in terms of, you know, what working with parents in sport does and how clubs can access some of the stuff that you do?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've tried to make our resources, how we work with clubs, how we work with national governing bodies. You know, we work with 10 NGBs, sports charities, coaching partnerships that we have. You know, we provide resources that can be customized. We've got a website platform. We deliver face-to-face workshops. We deliver online webinars. Our websites can be customized by sports to add their own content and put their own unique stamp on it. And we're all about building sustainable relationships with people, and we're not here to take over. You know, we haven't got that type of ego. We're just here to support in the background, in the hope that we make these environments better for young people.
So we always ask our guests to sum up their topic in 3 points. And we've had a vast range of topics covered over this podcast. What would be your 3 key points for coaches to communicate effectively with parents within sport?
Yeah, I think you've got to make yourself a human being, approachable. And I think you've got to welcome parents into your program so they see you as a person. I think that's number one. I think you've really got to think about your communication policy, which we touched on earlier, and trying to be as proactive as you possibly can. And I think the final one is just to not see them as a threat, that actually many parents are an ally. They're massively passionate about their child and want what is best for their child. And we've just got to find ways of bringing that passion into the journey to work with us as coaches, in the best interests of the people that we're coaching.
So if coaches or any parents want to find out, you know, more about the work that you do, how can they find out some more about you?
Yeah, so visit us at our site, www.parentsinsport.co.uk. We are also on Twitter at WWPIS. We're on Facebook, similar address, and we are also on Instagram. And as I say to anybody, we're always very happy to discuss parental engagement in your own unique environment and try and find something that works well for you.
Well, excellent. Gordon, thank you very much for your time. Coaches, thank you so much for listening and tuning in to this episode. I want to take this opportunity to point you as well towards our own social media and website. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at The Poolside Pass, but also our website, www.thepoolsidepass.com. Until next time, take care, everyone. And hopefully by this time, this one goes out in September, October. Hopefully everyone's back in the water and getting stuck into coaching. Take care.